We're going to read together some verses from the scriptures, reading a very familiar portion, Acts chapter 16, the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. Remember that this chapter records the first introduction of the gospel into the continent of Europe. But we want to read a few verses, Acts 16, beginning at verse 25. We'll break into the chapter at the 25th verse, and we're going to read together down to the close of verse 34. Acts 16 at the 25th verse, and let us hear the word of God. And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his blessing today to this, the public reading of his word. We're just going to bow together, please, in a brief word of prayer, just before we come to consider the scriptures and to bring the word of God. Let's just still our hearts and seek the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, for this gathering. Thank you for all that are present. We bring every home and family of the congregation before thee. We thank, Father, of the differing needs of every home at this time. Pray that all of our families would know the presence of the Lord. We're glad, Father, on the first day of the week that we can gather in thy house and confess our need and seek thy help and guidance even for the week to come. Remember the little ones in the children's church. We thank you, Father, for every young family, and we thank you for every child and young person of this church. We pray that you'll bless them. We want to ask that you'll do for them what you did for Samuel. Pray that when they're still children, that you'll call them to thyself in salvation. We do thank you, Father, that we have thy word. What a blessing it is to have the scriptures, this book that's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And our prayer is that you'll deepen our love for it. Pray that even now, Father, that you might prepare us, even for those things that you would say to us. Give us ears to hear what the Spirit might say unto the churches. Thank you for the testimony that we've heard already, the help given to our sister, the blessing that that testimony has been. Pray that you'll use it even to speak to hearts in this service today. But we pray, Father, that your word, even now, that it might come with power. Pray that it will be the hammer that breaks the rock in pieces. And our prayer, Father, our earnest prayer is that salvation might come to this house today. Hear these our prayers. Answer our cries as we offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. You'll find the words of our text in Acts chapter 16. And it's the familiar verses 30 and 31. If I could just read them to you again. Acts 16 and the verse 30. It says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. We're going to think for a few minutes this morning of the question, is your soul saved? That is the theme that we want to take up in our study, our meditation of God's Word. Can I ask you to think very carefully and earnestly about that question this morning at the outset of the message? Is your soul saved? We're not asking you, are you baptized or catechized? Those things have their place in the Church of Christ. What we're asking you today is, are you saved by God's grace? Have you experienced God's so great salvation? The reality, men and women, is there's nothing more important than this. And I want to stress that to everyone in the meeting. Can I say, men and women, the most important thing in life is to know beyond all doubt that it is well with your soul. The most important thing in life is to know that you're ready for death and that you're ready for eternity. Can I make it clear to you that the word saved, it's a good biblical word. It's a good biblical term. It's used over 50 times in the New Testament alone. So here's a word, here's an experience that's at the very heart of the message of the Bible. And here's a word and an experience that is at the very heart of the message of the gospel. And the fact is, men and women, if God speaks so clearly, if God speaks so repeatedly about this matter in His Word, then we need to listen very carefully. We need to pay attention to what the Lord has to say about it. We have read today in our scripture reading the story of the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. It's the story of the conversion of the jailer. It's the story of a man that got saved. And he got saved in the middle of the night under the prison ministry of Paul and Silas. There they were in the prison and they sang praises to the Lord. And the Lord used their witness. The Lord used their testimony. Maybe one of the first prison ministries recorded in the Bible. And the first convert was the jailer himself. And what we're going to do, men and women, is we're going to take a closer look at this story. And as we do, we want to stress to you the importance of being saved. Because remember, that is the clear message of this passage of God's Word. And as we consider the details of the story together, I want you to ask yourself, are you saved? Isn't it good to hear, as we've done this morning, of others getting saved? It's good to read of these accounts in the Bible of men and women coming to the Saviour. We rejoice in others being saved. But we want you to ask yourself today, are you saved? Has this been your experience? Could this be your testimony today? The first thing I want you to notice is the meaning of being saved. Look there at verse 31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. The word saved means to be rescued or to be delivered. You think of a person that's drowning in the sea. Isn't it true that they're in danger and they need to be saved, they need to be rescued? Well, the same is true of the sinner. They need to be rescued also, but from a far greater danger. Now you might ask this morning, what do I need to be saved from? What do I need to be rescued from? Well, for one thing, you need to be saved from the power of sin. The sinner in their natural, their unconverted condition is a slave to sin. The Bible makes that clear. John said, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So here's your condition if you're still unsaved. You're a slave. You're a slave to sin. But when a person gets saved, when they get converted, they're delivered from sin's power in their life. Paul, writing to the Romans, said, sin shall not have dominion over you. You see, Jesus Christ
breaks the power of sin in your life. He will deliver you. He will set you free from sin's bondage. But there's something more, men and women. There's something else. Being saved also means to be saved from the penalty of sin. In the Romans it says the wages of sin is death. Here's the penalty for sin. It's death. Not just physical death. In other words, the death of the body. But also eternal death, which includes your soul. And I must warn you today that those that die unsaved, they spend an eternity in hell. They spend an eternity in the lake of fire. Think of John 3:16, best known verse in the Bible. It contains those words, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Do you see your condition, men and women? Do you see your danger? If you're out of Christ, you're perishing. And you're in danger of perishing forever, for all eternity. But the good news of the gospel is this. You don't have to be lost. You don't have to go to hell. Because when a person gets saved, when they receive Christ as their Savior, they're rescued, they're delivered from going to hell. Can I ask you today, have you ever had that experience? When you come to Christ, you're delivered, men and women. Delivered from a lost eternity. Delivered from perishing eternally. You're delivered from the wrath to come. Delivered from the penalty for sin. I'd like you to think of those things. And in the light of these truths, men and women, I want to ask you the question, are you saved? Ponder it carefully. Have you been delivered from sin's power in your life? Have you been delivered from going to a lost eternity? There may be other members of your family that are saved, and how good that is. But what of you? Are you saved as you sit in the meeting this morning? That's the meaning of being saved. Think of the must of being saved. The jailer asked in verse 30, what must I do to be saved? Literally was asking there, what is necessary for me to do to be saved? In other words, this man knew he needed God's salvation. This man knew that it was absolutely necessary for him to be saved. There was no doubt in his mind that this was something that was vital. And I want to impress that truth upon everyone here today without Christ. The reality is, men and women, you need to be saved. And there's nothing that you need more. Remember Peter preaching in Jerusalem? He used those words, we must be saved. So the message is clear, men and women. This is a must. This is an imperative. If you ever hope to be in heaven, then it is absolutely necessary for you to be saved. This is something that can't be done without. But you will ask this morning, why is it necessary for me to be saved? And the answer is because you're a sinner. Isn't there a lot of talk today in society about equality? Well, here, men and women, is the ultimate equality. Here's the great equalizer. The fact is, we're all sinners. Paul, writing again in the Romans, said, there is no difference, for all have sinned. You may be a good citizen of the country. You may be a moral person, a church goer, and all of those things are good. But remember, you're still a sinner. And you need to recognize that. You need to accept that fact if you ever hope to experience God's salvation. It is because of that sin, men and women, that you cannot enter heaven as you are. Do you remember what John wrote in the book of the Revelation? There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. It's because of your sin you cannot enter heaven as you are. It's because of your sin that you're in danger of hell, in danger of perishing. And it's because of your sin that you need to be saved. It's your sin that's taking you to a lost eternity. Can I say to you, men and women, can urge upon you this morning, don't be careless with your soul. Do you realize how vital this matter is? Do you realize this morning that unless you are saved, that you'll never be in heaven. You'll never experience eternal life. The must of being saved. Think in the third place of the method of being saved. How important this is. Paul said to the jailer in verse 31, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Can I say to you men and women, can I make it clear? All that is required for you to be saved and experience God's salvation is belief or faith in Jesus Christ. Money, works, religion, none of those things are required. Because the reality is that none of those things can save your soul. All that is required is faith alone in Jesus Christ. Now, not a mere intellectual believing of the facts of who Jesus Christ was and what he did. Know that word believe, it means much more than that. It means to put your trust completely in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation and for eternity. And if you want to be saved today, men and women, then what you need to do is put your trust not in yourself, not in the minister, not in the religious leader. You must trust completely and only in Jesus Christ and in his sacrifice, his once for all sacrifice that he made on the cross of Calvary. There's an old hymn that says, only trust him, only trust him, only trust him now. And that's what I want to urge you to do in this meeting this morning. There is an acrostic for faith that explains clearly what it means to trust Christ. Remember, in acrostics, when you take the letters of a word and from every one of those letters you make another word. Will you take the word faith, forsaking all I trust him? And that's what you need to do today. You need to forsake everything and trust in nothing else and in no one else other than Jesus Christ for the salvation of your soul. I wonder, is there one in the meeting this morning and you're asking in your heart the same question that the jailer asked those 2,000 years ago? What must I do to be saved? Well, the answer, men and women, is still the same. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Put your trust in the finished work of the Son of God and you'll be saved for all eternity. There's one other thing I want you to notice. That's the mistake about being saved. If you look at verse 33 of the chapter, it says, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. Did you notice that the Philippian jailer got saved immediately? He got saved without delay. It says he did it straightway, the same hour of the night. This man got saved immediately. And when, men and women, is the time for you to be saved? The answer is now. Because remember that now is the only time that you're sure of. Many people say there's plenty of time to be saved. There's no hurry. That's a mistake, men and women. Can I warn you of that? And it's a mistake, a fatal mistake, that especially young people make. The reality, men and women, is you do not have plenty of time. You think of the warnings that God gives in his word. In the book of Proverbs it says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. The solemn reality is you don't know if you will live even to see tomorrow. You dare not put off getting saved until tomorrow, because tomorrow for you could be eternity. Tomorrow you could be in eternity. In the book of Genesis, God gives another warning. He says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. You see, even you do live to see tomorrow. There's no guarantee that the door of salvation will still be open to you. There's no guarantee that the Spirit of God will still be speaking and still striving upon your heart. The Spirit of God may be speaking to you today. And what a mercy that is, men and women. But remember that this could be the last day. God can and God does withdraw his spirit. And if that happens in your life, then you could never be saved, regardless of how long you would live after that day or after that date. Can I emphasize, men and women, it's the devil who says to you to wait. It's the devil that's whispering in your ear and saying, put it off, there's plenty of time. You say, or you ask, how do I know that? Because God says in his word, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. God says, today, if you will, hear his voice and harden not your hearts. Men and women, the right time, the best time, the only time, yes, God's time for you to be saved is now. And I want to urge you not to wait another moment, because that is a mistake that could damn your soul. In closing, let me ask you again just to ponder the question that we began with. Is your soul saved? Remember, there's no more important question in this world. Is it well with your soul today? If you have to answer, no, I'm not saved. If you have to say, I'm still unsaved, then listen carefully to the words of our text. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I pray God will bless his word, and he'll write it upon every heart this day. Hymn 200.